This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Because we're not talking about this subject, we have the issues that we have today, not only in the church, but in society. And I think it's time that we get honest and say, church better get its head out of the sand and talk about the issue of sex. The good news is we're not talking about sex today. We're talking about purity, all right? But sex is a huge component of purity, and we can't ignore it. I remember years ago, I was teaching a whole series on sex. Should have been there. It was great. But I remember opening remark, I said, rhetorically, of course, we all know the Bible doesn't have anything to say about sex, right? And from the back row, some sweet little senior saint yelled out, no! Yeah, and that's why we have the problem we have today. That's why we have young ladies pregnant in high school and even earlier sometimes, and young men not understanding what the role of a godly man should be, and a young lady feeling like her self-esteem comes from giving her body away to just have one night to feel special. Church, would you agree that we need to talk about this? And I would just say that before we go into our rite of passage ceremony next Sunday, that we have to talk about it. As far as logistics go for the ceremony, I just want you to be prepared. Next Sunday's a huge day. Please come. Don't let anything distract you, because it's really important that we as a community of believers come together to celebrate, to affirm, and to bless the passage into adulthood of these young men and women. The rite of passage ceremony itself will take place second service. So if you're a first service person, I'm going to encourage you to come to both, or at least come to second, even if it means we have fewer people at first service. I would just say come to both, because both services are going to have real significant passages take place. In the first service, we're going to celebrate the promotion of our younger kids into children's church. How awesome is that? That we have a children's ministry that's functional, and that these kids are looking forward to advancing to a kids' church. So Sherry's got a great presentation planned. You're going to want to be there just to celebrate with these little boys and girls and their families. We're also going to be honoring our Hillcrest Transitional Housing graduate, Cody. If you've met Cody, she's a beautiful young lady who happens to be a part of our church, and what a great connection we've had, as we are a member of many churches supporting this ministry that provides shelter, not only a place to live, but also a chance at a new life for men and women and families who are either homeless or in danger of becoming so. And Cody has been the resident in our apartment for the last 90 days, and she's fixing to graduate this month. And so we're going to celebrate Cody next week as well. So to prepare for that, if you this week would grab a card and maybe stick in a gift card for her to help her launch her new life, that'll be next Sunday as well. So it's a huge, huge day of celebration for us. So really, just encourage you to come and be a part of that. For today's topic, though, we're in part three of this passages series. And, you know, one of the ways God prepares us for passage is through the process of purity. And what I mean by that is a refining of our desires and the way we look at life. It's a part of the process. And yes, sexuality is a huge component of purity, but it's not the only one. We're going to talk about sexuality today in the context of passage, how we as a people, individually, corporately, are constantly having our motives, our desires, our wants purified so that God can take us to the next place He has for us. But we can't talk about purity in today's society without also including our sexuality. You know, I've told you this before, that before I agree to marry a couple, I require that they be sexually pure. Even if they have enjoyed relationship prior to meeting me, I said, well, you've got to stop between now and the time you're married, which always gets wonderful looks of shock on the faces, especially of the guys, right? It's a bit of a throwback. They don't quite know how to handle that. Sometimes they walk away from the opportunity because of my requirement. Here's the deal. having the determination to go into a relationship and to hold on the issue of sexual intimacy shows a dedication to a relationship that is blessable by God. Yesterday, I had a chance to do another wedding right here on this platform for a young couple, and they are a great, great couple of kids, and they took the path of God's blessing and waited until marriage to enjoy that part of their relationship. Now, here's the big lie that I've got to expose. Waiting for sex till marriage doesn't give you better sex. Sex is good all the time. Amen? It's a good thing. It's a gift from God. But here's the deal. Waiting until marriage creates a relationship with God and brings God into your partnership there in a way that allows your marriage to be blessed. In a way that if you don't do it His way, He's just not able to bless it. Here's the deal, okay? God doesn't say wait because He's mean and wants to punish you. He's a good father. He wants only the best for you. By demonstrating the determination, the discipline to preserve that part of your relationship, you're sending a message to your future spouse of how important it is for them to know that God comes first and that this part of your relationship is preserved for them and for no other. Because if you don't have discipline before marriage, what's to guarantee that you won't have discipline after marriage? Does that make sense? It sends an incredible message of strength and the ability to choose. And sex is meant for pleasure and enjoyment, but outside the confines of the covenant of marriage, I say confines, outside of the blessing of the covenant of marriage, other things, other trappings come along, as demonstrated in today's illustration, that complicate life, and God wants better than that for us. Which is why, again, we have to talk about this subject today. Psalm 119 says this: how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Abstaining before marriage is a sign of commitment. That's why I require it of the couples that I marry. And I don't put a monitor, you know, to see if they live up to their word. I trust them to do as they say they will. But it sets a couple up for blessability. Just like your giving, your obedience in your finances, according to God's word, sets you up for blessability. We don't give to get blessed, but because we give, we get blessed. God knows then He can trust you with more. So can you see how that works in the sexuality issue? When you commit your sexuality to God, He sees how He can trust you with that. And yeah, it sets up your life for blessability, great blessability, when you do it His way. It's part of the process of purifying our motives and our heart's desires. That's what we're about. That's how we know and can show God we can handle the blessings He longs to bring our way. And before you can fully experience any passage in life, you go through the process of purification. It's like God has to show us what's really in our heart and deal with that so that we can then be successful in that place that He's taking us to. And purity is about as much about preparation as it is about the destination God is taking us to. Whether it's marriage, whether it's success in life, there's a purification that we pass through in this whole transitional season when we're on our way between one place and the next. There is no point A and point B roadmap journey in life. Have you discovered that? I used to always just pray when I was a younger man, you know, desperate for God to show me the next step. I just want to see where I'm going. And I'm the kind of guy, I'm a really bad in-betweener. I wanted to be single or married. This dating stuff, I wanted nothing to do with that. But you see, the process was really important. The same in life. When you're going on a destination, and each of us are, I've found that God is not going to just show me point B and draw a straight line and take me from here to there. My straight line looks like this, you know, all over the place, because it's as much about my preparation as it is about my destination. There's a tweetable quote right there. It's as much about the preparation as it is about the destination. When I was on my way to the Middle East as a missionary in my early days, I thought for sure, I knew where I was supposed to go, and it was just like, okay, let's just do it. Let's sell everything and go. But God had a different plan. He waited 2 years from the time that I knew where I was going to the time that he released me to be there, because my preparation was just as important. I needed to be ready as a man for the situation he was putting me into. And that preparation is so, so vital. Preparation is key. And purity in your life speaks of that process. The purification of our motives and our intents, our desires is so critical. A God work in me when I allow the purification process to have its full impact. Purity is just not what you do. See, we gotta change definition. We think purity, especially in terms of sexuality, is, you know, what I do. And in reality, it's all that I am. It's everything that I see. It's everything that I touch. It's the way I allow myself to be touched. It's what I allow into my life to enter into who I am as a person. What I look at, what I take into me. It's not just about sexuality. It's other things that can mess up the pathway of purity. And you all know what I'm talking about. There are other areas of life that are outside of God's blessability. When we get off the path, then we're in trouble. We get into situations that distract us from God's best for us. It's tough in a world that doesn't value purity. Tell you what, this generation's growing up in an entirely different environment than even 10 years ago. 10 years ago, we wouldn't have dreamed of the stuff we're talking about now, you know? Never would have thought it would be possible that mainstream America would be talking about the stuff that we're talking about, let alone the availability of things on the internet. It's just way too easy. I don't know about you men who are my age, but, you know, pornography was not an easy thing to come by when you were a young man. If you found it, you had to sneak in, you know. I discovered my dad's stash of hardcore porn by accident one day, and it forever impacted me. And that was a rare occasion in my world. Today, it's super accessible. Here's the thing, though, about those images I saw at 10 years old, I can still pull them up. They're burned into my brain. See, pornography, especially with men who are visual, chemically, hormonally, does stuff to your brain, creating these neural pathways. And you can do the scientific research online and see we're never the same after we allow those images into our brain. And it breaks my heart to think of this 10-year-old boy whose life was forever altered, who still today has to fight against those temptations. Men, it's important for you to know that men who love Jesus still struggle with temptation. I remember one time I was talking to a pastor, and I said, you know, I was quoting the statistics that over half of the men in the average church in America today struggles with pornography to an addictive level, meaning it's not just a temptation when you're standing at the checkout line at Walmart and see, you know, some lady all hanging out there. It's an addiction. It's like you can't not look at it. And the internet has made that so accessible for us. And the pastor looked at me and he goes, I don't believe that. I don't believe that 50% of my men are addicted to pornography. And I said, well, why would you think your church is any different than the average church in America? He said, well, because I don't struggle with it. And I said, well, I wanted to say, I didn't. Wasn't bold enough. Please don't tell your men that, because now there's one more reason to think that you're different than them, and they could never live a life like this. I'm telling you, men, if you're male, you struggle in this area. Doesn't mean there can't be victory. I'm just saying you're going to get to choose every day, like I do, what you're going to give attention to. That's the process of purification. Men, am I speaking the truth today? At least give me a nod if okay. Because I think I'm talking to the right group of guys today. We're not religious phonies here, are we? We don't sugarcoat it and tell it like we wish it were. We tell it like it really is, because we are a church of imperfect people on a journey together. And that's why this process of purity is so important. It's important for us to model and demonstrate for our younger men. See, younger guys, the young ladies should never feel safer than when they're in your presence. They know you're there to protect them. They're not in danger around you, that you are there to make sure that their purity is protected. And young ladies, the same goes for you. You may not think of it this way, but you are protecting the young men's purity by the way you dress, by the way you treat them. You're helping them guard and safe keep this precious treasure of their purity. That's how God meant it to be. We all have choices to make in this regard, and I love it that this is a subject in the scripture that is not skirted around. The Apostle Paul is real direct in his words to the church in Rome, Romans 12. He says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is." His good, say good. Pleasing, say pleasing. And perfect will, say perfect. See, that's it. That's God's will for us. It's good, it's pleasing, it's perfect. Now, here's what I believe. We're on the journey toward good and pleasing and perfect. And there'll be days when it's a struggle, and there'll be days that you will fail. And the apostle even confesses that in his own life. He doesn't do it perfect. He calls himself the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of all. So I would be lying to you if I didn't stand in front of you and say, yeah, it's a struggle for every man, and I'm a man, so it's a struggle. And I get to choose every day what I'll give my attention to, what I will look at, what I won't look at, what I allow my mind to dwell on, what I won't allow my mind to dwell on. It's a process. It's the preparation in my heart that shows to God, I want my life to be blessable. So I'm going to choose a different way. Aren't you glad that we get to choose? Amen. We get to choose. It's not thrust upon us. No one has, you know, a gun to our head and our arm twisted behind our back. We get to make the decision. And ladies, I don't mean to ignore you, but I'm speaking mostly to the guys because I am one, so I know how we work. This is why you need other men in your life, because there'll be times when it doesn't feel like you have a choice, and you always have a choice. So get some men in your life who will help encourage you and smack you around when you need it, help you remember and realize what's important so you don't give your life to things that will destroy it. This purification is an ongoing process. Say ongoing. It's like every day, every decision, every choice leads me either closer to that good, perfect way or it leads me further from it. Every decision I make is important. Pornography in the male brain, as I said, it's one of those things that men, we can't allow ourselves. We think innocently. It's not innocent because of what it does to us, of how it causes us to view women and how it damages the relationship if you're married or one day if you will be, how it takes away from the intimacy meant to be shared with one person and one person only. We're preparing for this rite of passage ceremony next Sunday. This is my third lesson or opportunity to share the concepts behind this with you. And it's important that we stop at the road marker called purity in this journey, this process, before we release our sons and daughters to their adulthood, because this is one of the big things that trips us up as adults. If we want God to use us, to take us on to the next level, we have to submit to the process of purity. Cannot be bypassed. And I can think of no better example than Joseph in the Old Testament. One of my favorite stories. Here's a young man with a dream for his life. You know, had a vision, a calling, knew that he was prepared for something great. And yet the process that God took that young man on, if you know the story, you know his own brothers sold him into slavery. They were jealous of him. Put him in a pit, sold him. He was going to kill him. Instead, decided to make a little profit off of him, sold him into slavery. He ends up in prison, falsely accused of, you know, sleeping with the boss's wife. In that portion of his story, we see him making a great choice of running from an opportunity that he could have taken advantage of. He ends up in the palace, you know, in command of all of Egypt, the big shot, But then the real test of his purity came when his own brothers came knocking on the door looking for something to eat, right? See, it's all a part of purity. It's not just sexual. It's about life motivations and desires and how I live my life in a way that isn't just to please me, but to honor God. That's a part of the purity process. God will not use us mightily until he has first moved mightily within us. And that's what Joseph's process was all about. God was preparing him to be the man God needed him to be in charge of Egypt. But he wouldn't have been that guy had he not taken from point A to point B all these little jig-jag journeys that made no sense at the time, but in the end made perfect sense. And that's been the story of my life too. I did not set out to be the pastor of a local church or to plant one in a warehouse downtown St. Joe. I could take you on the wild roller coaster ride of how I got here. But I can tell you that every step along the way was a part of the process. Some of that purification in me that was necessary before I could stand before you with pure motives, with no hidden agenda, nothing to prove other than I want to do the will of God. And sometimes that's a painful process. You know, sometimes it's going to cost me. It's going to bring me to a place of tears. It's going to drive me to my knees. And instead of saying uncle, I say father, right? Where I yield to his plan for my life. I just want to tell you this, that the place where you're at today, wherever you're at, I want you to know this. I want to encourage you with this. Wherever you find yourself today, you're being prepared for something. I don't care how difficult it is. You're being prepared for something God created you for. Ephesians 2:10 says he has works for you before the world was formed for you to accomplish, Steve Crawford. It's for you. So whatever you're going through now is a part of where he's taking you. Every person in the room today can say that. Whether you acknowledge it or like it or not, you're in the purification process right now. And I just want to tell you as your friend, it's a good thing. And I'll weep with you when it's hard, and I'll party with you when it's good. But every step along the way, God can use, because he uses all things together for our good. We may not see the connection between now and then, but God does. Because God sees the heart. And that really is what he's more interested in. Listen to what Francis Frangipane says. He says, as we mature spiritually in unfolding ways, we realize that it is not Christianity living in us. It is Christ himself. His word speaks to our inner man, training, reproving, and guiding us. The cross emerges off the printed page and stands before us, confronting us with our own Gethsemanes, our own Golgothas. We die to ourself, yet we live. Yet it is not us who live, but Christ lives in us. The cross that put my old nature to death now becomes a passage to resurrection life in the presence of God. When I read that this week, I'm like, boom, there's that word passage. I'm using that. It just reinforces what we're saying. Purity is about being crucified. It's about dying to self, dying to my motives, what I think, what I want. It's a process that will continue until the day we see Jesus face to face. And friend, that day is approaching. With every day that goes by, we become one step closer to the day when we will see Jesus face to face. Galatians 2:20 is where Francis got that quote from. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, all of life boils down to that moment when we see him face to face. And there's two questions that ultimately will be deciding how we have lived this life. When we see Jesus face to face and we recognize that face and we say, I know you, we want to hear in reply, I know you too. It's all about, do we know Jesus and does Jesus know us? And I'll tell you what, he knows about us, he created us. But when we say no, we're talking about walking in relationship. Walking this pathway, this road of purity, submitting, surrendering our life to that good, perfect, acceptable will of God. And none of us do it perfect every day. So don't let that trip you up and say, well, I don't do it perfect, so I'm disqualified. No, that's not the point. Even the Apostle Paul said he didn't do it perfectly. Romans 7:21, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Anybody ever felt that way? I'm just so glad to see the Apostle Paul confirming how I feel sometimes. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, there's a hope. It isn't all doom and gloom. But as long as we live on this earth, there's going to be struggle. Jesus promised it, right? In this world, you're going to see trouble. But you can be of good cheer because I overcame the world. That's the good news in Jesus. And it's learning to follow that pathway. That's the process of purity that is necessary. Even before I release these sons and daughters into their adulthood, I've got to bring them to a point of making a decision that they will choose the pathway of purity. But older men and women, we're on the pathway too. And we get to choose every day how we're going to live our life. To the young people, we say this. If you've already blown it, if you've already given your purity away, here's the truth. He could, but I've never seen God choose to restore physical virginity. I've not seen that. I suppose he could. I've never seen him do it. But I've seen him restore purity. I've seen him do that a lot. I've seen him do it in me. I've seen him do it 100 times at this altar with young men and women at a rites of passage. But church, you know I'm taking this broader than just the next generation, right? Talking about us today. Purity is necessary. It's how we get from where we are to where God wants to take us. How many of you realize God has more for us than what we now see? Did you see that amazing set when you walked in? If you came in this way, you saw the chairs that Don set up in the soon-to-be auditorium. You saw the lights that Shane put up. We're trying to help you get a picture of where we're going. But see, do you realize that we can't despise today? If we're going to be effective there, we got to live today. And today's all about this process, this purification process that God is stripping us from our motive. Because see, if we can't worship him in this room, we'll never be able to worship him in that room. If we can't serve him here, we'll never be able to serve him there. We'll think it's all about the show, all about the external. And I want that as much as anybody, but I know this, today, God's working on us.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.